In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Al-Masiyakam. This is one of the most well-crafted stories in the entire New Testament, because it ties together the entire scriptures for us. It focuses in on one man's illness, only to show us that the particular question that the gospel is asking about him, about his blindness being from birth through some sort of congenital sin of his parents, which is kind of folkloric. You know, we talk about generational trauma. It's kind of a fashionable thing that pop psychologists will talk about, the idea that we can pass trauma from generation to generation. There's a way in which that's true in social circumstance, especially with immigration. I know, for example, I was just on the phone with a priest in Arizona who grew up in a very dense Ukrainian parish in New Jersey, Newark. And it was a place that they always sent seminarians, and they always sent religious. It was run by the Redemptorist Order, the same order that's responsible there for that icon, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. They used to serve for a time at St. Michael's when it was in Gary, and they're responsible for the ones that moved it to Maryville. And these Redemptorists always had to go to New York, and they had to put their hands on this post-World War II immigration of Ukrainians, because they were a really particular bunch, because they weren't coming for the American dream, they were coming to escape Stalin's nightmare. Because of that, they brought all of their wounds and their fears, and that really colored and infected that community. It made them actually rather insular. It made them very strong. I mean, they built some really big churches. If you look at St. Volodymyr and Olha, we went there in the fall. That was built beautiful, one of the most beautiful churches in Ukraine, in North America, Eastern Catholic. But that was built in some ways out of fear and anxiety, that just as Stalin tried to erase their identity through starvation, torture, and death, that America risked doing the same thing. So they huddled in and they built something rather beautiful. If that can be passed down from generation to generation, can sins? Yeah, no. Certainly, there's a sin that has been passed down from his parents. Not his immediate parents that are in the story, but his first parents, Adam and Eve. Through Adam and Eve's sin, we accept and receive, without any choice of our own, the consequences of their rebellion against God, which is liability to suffering, liability to physical calamities that can assail us, and death itself. That is a fact that Jesus has come to remediate. And while it's a real thin pie slice of history in which he enters in, and it's a real thin pie slice still, the life of this man born blind, he wants to show that it's through this man, we hear him say, that God's works might be glorified in him. And so in this one guy, Jesus wants to demonstrate anew the cosmic act of creation that he performed with the Father and the Spirit at the beginning of the ages, when he breathed into them breath into the dirt of the ground and made Adam a living soul. He's doing the same thing with the dirt and the spit. He's recreating. But to catch the significance of that means that we have to assent to the fact that we're in relationship with Adam, when we're in relationship with Eve. This is what the church reminds us of. It's what the gift, you want to know what a church is for that you can't get anywhere else, is it puts us in contact with a much wider world than 2024 Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland. And it puts us into contact with the past. And that's beautiful work. You can go to museums. You can go to the Museum of Science and Industry, and you can feel proud to be an American's, be part of America's noble history and being at the forefront of science and industry. You can go to the Art Institute of Chicago and see how, you know, Chicago is really a repository for the collected beauty and wisdom that has passed through artists' hands throughout the ages. You can go to even the Whiting Robertsdale Historical Society, which has a new building, and you can see how we participate in a much larger history, but it's here and only here that you can get the widest, deepest, broadest look at what we're in relationship to back. And that's why every time you come to church, you're going to hear something about Adam and Eve. It's shot through our entire hymnography so that you don't forget your parents. Yeah. So we don't forget what we're connected to. And if we can remember that we're heirs of Adam, how much more beautiful than to remind ourselves that we're heirs of the new Adam and the gift that he gives us between these two images, that through that cross, he can lift up Adam and Eve and all his progeny along with him, for all that want to reach out. And he'll, through the cross and with his resurrection, he will remind us about that foundational gift. Just as he reminded that blind man with the bread and the spit, the mud and the spit, putting it together, showing us that he, as the liturgy wants to tell us, has brought all things out of non-existence into being. Our being is on loan to us. We don't own it. We think we own it, and very often we put a lien on our house of being. Try to give it away, all sorts of ways, called sins. Yeah. But with this revelation that we've been endowed with being, what can we do? Yeah. We can't pay back the gift of infinite value. But the way, one way in which we can pay it back is to pay it forward, you see. It's in the same way that, you know, I study the early church. I can't pay back the lessons that I've learned from Ignatius of Antioch. I can't pay back the lessons that I've learned from John the Forerunner, Peter, Paul, Joseph, Zechariah. Can't pay back what I've learned from my patron Saint Andrew, Saint Stephen, John Chrysostom. We can only pay it forward. Actually, the way in which we pay it back, since they're not around for me to, you know, here's $20 for what I learned from you, Ignatius, here's $30 for everything that you taught me, Peter, here's $40 for whatever I got from you, Paul. But the way we pay it back is by being responsible, faithful, and joyful interpreters and emulators, or imitate. Emulate means to imitate so as to surpass their virtues. And in that way, we can pay back by paying forward. It's the one way that we can return to the Lord for all of his goodness to me. I will raise up the chalice of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord to make that sacrifice. In the same way, in a very radical way, this physical plant that we're about. I only have really two labels that I can read. That's the Diphalo family and the Mantich family. But presumably, like that one's worn out. We got up there, we can't see it. This is worn out here, I can't see. I don't know. I don't know who gave these windows, but they were all donated and they were all sponsored. What can we do? Can't pay them back. I mean, Marlene's back. We can pay Marlene back. Now, thank you, you know, for your family. We can do that. We can go find, you know, Mariana's related to it. She's a little bit of Mantich inside of her. You know, you can give Mariana a big kiss on the cheek if you want. You know, Mike Mantich lives on Center Street. He's on my daily walk. He comes outside the church sometimes, but you know what? You can go knock on his door. Maybe you can do that, but it won't really do the trick. The only thing that we can do is pay it forward, because what's been given to us is something of inestimable value. It's the gift of giving forward. And in giving forward, we become in relationship in a new and intimate way with the people that come before us. The liturgy prays for the founders and benefactors of this holy church. We're at a position of refounding. God has put us in a position where He's recreating us, just as He's attempting and performing a recreation in the man born blind, so that we could see anew. We see this church brand new. The church that's ever been made fun of is the church. I was at Frankie V's last night. Don't ask me why I went to Frankie V's. Anyway, I would go to Frankie V's, and I'm there, and everybody came up to me and said, "Hey, we're so sorry we couldn't come to your gala. It was the most beautiful time," we all heard. "And B, we can't wait to come to the Eucharistic procession on July the 1st. They've already signed up, you know? We've been given the possibility to heal blindness, people that were maybe blind to the beauty that's found within this church. Yeah. We're being recreated. And the gift of recreation is not something that we can pay back. We can only pay forward. We started the bidding process this week for these windows. One of the issues that we're faced with here, I'm going to point out to you, is there are windows right here that were covered up in drywall in the eventuality that we might put more icons. Newsflash, this was done improperly, you see, because it's just drywall. There's nothing, no insulation between this drywall and the window. And on the other side, there's nothing preventing it in terms of climate control. It's just plexiglass. So you see this big ugly crack here? That's the drywall tape, and it's going to come undone, and it's going to continue to crinkle and crack, and sooner or later, this beautiful icon will be accompanied by a really huge crack in the wall if we don't do something about it. Now, why do I bring this up? In my father-in-law's village, they say there are two things, costruzioni e litigi cominciati e vediti. It means construction and litigation. Start it, and you'll figure out how much it'll never end. This requires probably a little bit more than we had initially thought. So we're going to be doing the bidding to re-glaze those windows, so that puts protective glazing, and we'll vent them so that the air will circulate and will better preserve those windows. And we actually, in order to stop this from happening, we're actually going to need to cut out these windows again, and The side effect of that is there'll be more light. I'm bringing this up, and we'll have to do it on the other side as well. I bring this up because it was not necessarily in the original scope of work. We didn't realize how bad this was. Again, I wasn't here when we went through this renovation, and this is nothing that we couldn't have anticipated, so we have to kind of undo some of the work that's been done. Might also mean we have to end up, we're going to try and find a workaround, but one of the scarier, not scary, I can do it. We might have to repaint that wall once we cut it up. You know? So I'm just sort of letting you know there is a cost, but it's the value that we're about. Are we invested in responding to the recreation that God has given to us? Are we invested in doing well, making good on the benefaction of the founders and benefactors of this church and making sure that the sacrifice they made don't go buried in the sand of history, but rather are invested, grown forward, and cultivated and flourished? It's not unresolvable. I'm just sort of letting you know it's a little bit bigger, even just this piece, than we thought. But the good news is we're going to have we'll have the bidding, we'll have clear bids before our eyes, we'll be able to leverage the $116,000 that we've made through the gala and the grant to begin that first part. So as we move into this Accessibility to Beauty project, remember, it's absolutely wedded to the event that we see in this gospel, right? God is recreating us. God wants to link us together to each other, to our past, in a more intimate way. We need to respond with the proper care and investment, and not take the endowment of being and put a lien on it and just wastefully spend what's been given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.